got this thing where you, I got this camera that you mount on your weapon when you're hunting, and it videotapes you killing your. No, she remembers me saying something about it. She doesn't forget. She doesn't get. Where's those papers we copied? You copied. What'd you do with those? Okay. Who else has a praise? Anybody else have a praise? And praise the Lord for the special this morning, Marissa and Miss. Miss Abbott, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Amen? You need to get me that title, that song. I haven't found the title of that song, so... Look. Yeah, I need to get that work. I need to work on that one.
Yes,
sir. Some... Yeah. Who? Any praises? Any praises? I want to... James... Haggerty's still in the hospital, got moved to another room, and I keep calling Heather Miss Haggerty, you know, because it was incredible. We visited them yesterday, or Friday morning. We were going to go see Brother Keys Friday, but we went yesterday morning and saw him. But we went to see him, and he was in ICU, and just the outlook on his life and what he wants, and his wife Heather said wants me and Miss Creed to come over and read the Bible for the kids and their three daughters to know the Lord. And there's some things that I'm not going to share with you right now, but there's some possibilities what God could do over there in that area, and we as a church could be part of. But James didn't have much growing up, and he just was a hungry businessman, and he's a money maker, and when you put somebody that's on the move like that in and they can't move, it's really hard. But God blessed, his surgeon has done over 1,500 of those surgeries. He actually came in when Pam and I were visiting, and we were talking about it, and he said to Miss Creed, you know, yeah, I get on YouTube and that helps me. And she went, you know, it's not really, honey. He's got jokes. This surgeon's got jokes. And I said, but very nice, and it God blessed all around. It was an experience, and so just continue to pray. I know that your prayers, God, you know, I told James, I said, this God, this was God's plan. He said, oh, I know. He said, this was God's plan, and so. Just pray for them, and also pray for the. We're working on some changes as far as Wednesday nights. We're probably going to take a year off as far as clubs. We're going to focus on our Sunday morning Sunday school, building our Sunday school up, and on purpose with Sunday school classes and different things like that. We want to fill up that little short bus. I'm trying to find us a long bus that Chris can drive, and or that we can pick up kids with. And so we're already thinking about those things. One reason want to work on the Wednesday night change is somewhere in July or early August. Every Wednesday night, we're going to have the men meet together. I'm just going to have men. We're going to have it. It's going to be about men, and we'll have something for the ladies and something for the kids. But I really think we need to start ministering to men in this day and age. And I'm not leaving you ladies out, y'all. Y'all, we love y'all, but we need to build up our men and get some more men in the church, and and encourage that. So pray as we work toward those things, just some positive changes and things we want to do, and excited about those things. Pray as we pray for some more sermon series we're working on, and there's so many, and we're excited about that. Give everybody one of those. This is from last week. I just wanted to give this to you to take home with you, as far as reading, and reading the Bible. Reading is not just reading. There needs to be a purpose with reading when you're studying your Bible. Am I a student of the Word? Our first week we talked about some things as far as studying the Word of God. And here's what I want you to think about. I had some things I said on purpose. There are things that I put in messages and in teaching that I want to get across, and things that I think will help you to take a step further in what we're talking about. And that is, in your devotions, don't just read your devotions and read a poem. And get a place and have a plan to study a portion of Scripture. Now, I'm giving you all kinds of things, and you have to excuse me, a lot of these things come from pastoral study, how we study as pastors. And if anybody needs to study the Word of God and study it right, is us, because we've got to pass it on to you. Amen? And so it's important. So if it has a little spin on that, I'm not saying you all are pastors, but I'm just saying the study to show thyself approved unto God is for everybody, and all of it works. And so we looked at a couple weeks ago on studying the Word of God, and then we talked about last week we looked at reading, and I want to continue that thought tonight as far as reading, and add another layer. Some read the Bible. Some people read the Bible and apply it without interpreting what it really means. Okay, now we're going from reading the Bible, what it says. How many of you find yourselves using the phrase, "the Bible says"? The Bible says. I had a guy say, "Does the Bible says, does it speak verbally?" It was a Mormon guy. He's picking on me. I said, "No, you know what I mean." And what the Bible says. Now we read it. We know what the Bible says. Here's what it says. But we're looking at, what does it mean? I need you to really concentrate, because what I'm going to give you is simple. But if you don't put it in there layer by layer, you'll miss the point of what we're saying. I'm going to try to drive it home, okay? But I want you to get it, okay? I want you to understand that we need to be students of the Word. I respect a representative or a senator today, or even a president, that is a student of the Constitution. You know, they're trying to change it and throw it out. Now, it's not all the end-all, be-all, but a constitutional lawyer, a constitutional person, is a person that is going to stick with what this country was founded on. And so, by the same token, we need to be biblical Christians. And you don't get, there's nothing, we don't put anything in, there's nothing in the door jams. When you walk in, the Bible just oozes into you. You got to get it. You got to get it yourself. And so it's important. And so what it says and what it means are two different things. We cannot take the Bible like an over-the-counter pill. That's not what it's all about. Let's look and let's lay some foundation tonight. Let's look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And look at verses 1 through 8. We read these last week. I want to read them again and pull some things out. Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 through 8. It says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." Now, if everybody walked in here on Sunday morning and said, "Preacher, we're ready to hear the Bible," I might faint. But they said, all those people said, "Hey, we need to hear God's word." So there was a priority in their heart. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. You want to underline that word, understanding. It's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to understand. And read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, most Baptists would have been gone after an hour. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, there's that word understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they were listening. They were attentive. It's one thing to hear somebody read the word of God. It's another thing. I mean, I've started down the road and played the audible word of God, and I'm trying to drive, and I get to the other end, and I say, "What did I just hear?" It's easy to get zoned out. "And Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Arujah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand and on his left hand." I had to give me some more. I'm going to skip those guys because I don't know. "And Ezra," I'll learn those. That's something I should. "Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people." See, they saw what book he was using. There's a lot of people that hide what they're saying. There's a lot of people. We open the Bible. I'm not opening Wall Street Journal. Okay? I'm opening the Bible. The King James Bible. "And when he opened it, the people stood up." They all stood up. "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered him, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." That must have been a sight to see. Notice verse 8. "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the what? Sense and caused them to understand." Now there's a difference in making somebody understand and people understanding on their own. But they made sense. Now, it's not saying the Bible doesn't make sense. What they were doing is telling them what it means. What does it mean? Our teaching and preaching and our people in our circles, in the independent Baptist circles, I'm not even going to talk about the other Baptist circles, are biblically illiterate. It's not because we don't have the book and not because we don't have the tools. It's because we don't understand how to study the Bible. This is not a novel that you study. This is not a technical book that you study. You've had some books to study in your college travels these past 2 years. and you had to really, but this is different from those. This is a supernatural book. This is a book that is from an author that means what he says. This is not going to change. There's not going to be another revision. God said it. That's it. Are you with me? And so what we're talking about is not just what it says, but what it means. What does it mean? The people responded by reading, and then they worshiped the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, our phrase, "rightly dividing." And that's what we're talking about, what it means, rightly dividing. I'm going to say some stuff. We cannot just ambiguously apply the scripture to a situation or our ideas. It's not right. Now I want you to understand that, because we do that. We do that. We hear preachers that do that. I mean, we have preachers go across the net, popular preachers. Popular. I'm not saying biblical, I'm saying popular. Now, I'm not putting my brothers down. I'm just saying, you know, I'm 65 years old, and let me just say, it's time to just quit sugarcoating stuff. We need preachers that preach the Bible and preach the truth and preach it. Here's the thing about the Bible. I've got to be ethical with the Bible. And that means God doesn't need me. Okay? He wants me to study it, but somebody, Jonathan Edwards, read his sermon. People could read the Bible, and God the Holy Spirit could use it. Okay? So I don't like to get too far from the scripture at all. I don't want to deviate from the scripture. So when I say what I say about the scripture and make, there's interpretation and then application. And every application is different. It's as different as you say, well, the Bible applies to everybody. Yeah, but it applies to people different ways. Not that it changes, but today I may be preaching something, and it may be a person may be going through it, that exact scripture I'm preaching. Okay. To another person, they may not, but they're learning. So there's different application, our age and what we're going through, our situations, and so I'm not saying the Bible changes. I'm saying it applies. It applies to people different. If I preach salvation, if you're saved, you thank God. If you're not saved, you're convicted. You see, so that's a different application, way it's applied. So, some say, since the patriarchs, here's what some people say like this: if the patriarchs practiced polygamy, then we could do that today. First of all, you'd be stupid, and for another thing, it's not right. Okay, or we say the Old Testament says women should suffer in childbirth, so women that have anesthetic during childbirth are in sin. Now you say, well, preacher, that's ridiculous. Well, that's on the same level as I'm talking, and I'm going to give you some things to help you stay away from that kind, because people believe that. People believe that. It's not easy to understand all of the Bible. But it's possible. It's possible. It's possible to understand. So I want to give you three errors of interpretation. I want you to write them down. I may print them next week. I may not print them, but I'm going to give you three errors when we interpret the Bible. When you sit down to study the Bible, and listen, we're going to take it next week. We're going to take it, Lord willing, if we're not caught up, amen. If we're caught up, we don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to give you some things that's going to, we're going to take another step. So if don't miss, but if you miss, get the notes from somebody, okay? Because I want us to be eggheads for the Bible, amen? And so first of all, we don't make a point at the price of interpretation. Now that's a preacher's term. We don't make a point. At the price of interpretation. Now here's what we're saying. Do not interpret a portion of Scripture with a preconceived idea. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody have a question? Don't go to the Bible, and let me just say this. Don't go to one portion of Scripture and interpret it because of what it said somewhere else. Because portions of Scriptures are different, some of them. And if you use another portion, now you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture, I'm saying. But it has its own context, interpretation. Some preachers say this. Some people say that, and here's what some preachers say. I have an idea, I just got to get a scripture to fit it. That's dangerous. But it happens all the time. And that's why, let me just say, that's why young men and young women are not coming to our churches, and they'll go to a guy that he believes different on some things, but he exposits the Scripture. Doesn't matter what version they use. They don't care about that. But they get somebody that just teaches the Scriptures and knows what they're saying. If anybody ought to know what they're saying, we should know. Okay? If I don't know what I'm saying, I need to sit down and let somebody else do it. If I don't know what I'm saying. If I study a passage, now listen to this, if I study a passage, out of it will flow God's message to me. If I study the passage. In other words, let the Scripture interpret itself. You understand what I'm saying? I used to have people say, you know, preacher, you know, if you ought to say something like in the Greek. Why? I'm not trying to impress people. Now, I can write a speech. I can write a sermon and I can write a speech on Saturday evening, come in here on Sunday morning and blow your doors off. I mean, I can do that. I was on debate teams and I can do that. That's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to preach to your heart and put the Scripture on the bottom shelf for everybody to understand. I mean, we have an international congregation. We have people that Brother Judith and what's her husband, Judith, and anyhow, our sweet couple over there, they told me when I went to visit them, we've got to understand your accent. My wife said, "Good luck," you know. You know, but think about. Listen. Read, and study, and let the message that God's given you, let Him teach you. You say, "Well, how can that happen?" The Bible plus the Holy Spirit plus me. The Holy Spirit. It said the Holy Spirit will teach you. Okay. So that's where we've been. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17 says this. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak. And what he was saying, what Paul was saying there, is we're not coming here and peddling our wares. We are giving you. We are not changing. We are not being untruthful with you. We are giving you the word of God straight up. See what I'm saying? So here's the point. Get this point. We don't make a point at the price of the interpretation. That makes sense, doesn't it? Don't make a point at the price of interpretation. Now, number two, notice what this says. Don't interpret the Bible superficially. Superficially. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, I was talking to my son Patrick, and he's down there in the middle of the camp meeting, wind-sucking, buzzsaw preachers. You know what I mean by wind-sucking? And I mean, they get on it. I mean, it's like starting a chainsaw. But he said, Dad, some of these guys down here, they're 10 miles wide and an inch deep. They're superficial. See, if you read through the Scripture and you read over the Scripture and you're satisfied with a quick study and a quick read, you're going to be interpreting the Bible superficially. And what I had to do years and years ago is I had to quit listening to everybody and I had to start listening to God.
Amen.
I had to stop looking at the commentaries. I had to stop looking at the things that were surface, and I had to say, God, okay, I got the surface. Anybody can get that. But I'm the preacher. I need to show these things to the folks, and I need to take them to the deep end. I need to let them dive off. I need to help them. I want to be a blessing in that way. I don't want to just be somebody that has a company line. Right? I don't need to get up here saying every Sunday, my pleasure. I don't need to be giving the company, right?
Amen.
Right? The company, that's, and by the way, there's a lot of that going on. Lot. Everybody has the lingo. You know what I'm saying? They got the lingo. That's not me. My preacher friend Sal Yanizzi, I preached at his church. He said, man, that was good. He said, you just have a different way. I said, it's me. That's how I do. That's me. I try to get better. I try to learn. I learn stuff. I learn stuff. I watch preachers and I learn, okay, I shouldn't do that. And I learn from other preachers, yes, that could work. I talk to preachers. I say, what do you do here? What do you do here? I'm a student in preaching. I want to be better. I want to be a better preacher for you. I'm not trying to get some award or anything. I just want to be able. I want to connect with you better. See what I'm saying? And so read. Someone said this. Unfortunately, lots of Bible studies are nothing but a collection of ignorance. A lot of people sitting around and telling what they don't know about the passage. And that's what happens. I mean, I've been to places where people were studying the Bible together, visiting a church and in Sunday school class, and I said, you know, Calgon, take me away. I mean, get me out of here. Beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of here. I didn't dare say anything. It might have shocked them to death. But they were nowhere near what the Scripture was saying. Bless their hearts. Okay? And I didn't think ill of them. That's just the way it is sometimes. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule be well counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. What is he saying? He's saying the preachers need to study too. Oh, I'm the preacher. I don't need to study. Yes, I do. I'm reading a book right now called Fault Line. And it's about all these acronyms, CRT, and all these acronyms out there, and all these things. And it's an African American preacher that's talking about what biblically here, and he's given, and in that book are some of the proponents of what's going on now. Say, why do you read that? Because I want to know, and I want to be able to preach in such a way with that in my mind and take a portion of Scripture. I don't have to bring that out to you. See, I can read and study about things that are going on from good people and factual places, and I can understand that, and I can study God's Word and say, God, what's happening here? And God can teach me, see? But I need to study. It's talking about the preachers. The elders need to study. We must take our time and read and study the passage. Okay? If you're a person that has to hurry and you're a person that has to prove something to somebody, you're in trouble with Bible study. So we don't make a point at the price of the interpretation. Number two, we don't interpret the Bible superficially. Don't just get your cookies and creams. Get down with the steak. Amen? Now, let me give you a third one. We'll end tonight. We don't spiritualize the Bible when we interpret it. We don't spiritualize the Bible when we interpret it. Now, what do you mean spiritualize the Bible when we interpret it? Let me say this first. Let me give you a baseline thought here and get you to understand this. The Bible is a spiritual book without you spiritualizing it.
Amen.
Okay? I don't have to make this. This is God's Word. This is a miracle book. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a precious book. You've read about the scribes that used to write, and when they wrote the name of God, they broke the pen and got another one. I mean, this book is a sacred book. It's God's Word. It's His God-breathed book. God breathed in His nostrils the breath of life. He breathed life into Adam. He breathed this book into existence through the Holy Spirit. Now, so I don't have to make it spiritual. It's spiritual on its own. Right? Say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I've read the Scripture. I've read the Scripture in different places. I've shared the Scripture with people. I've shared the Scripture with people that are unsaved, and they get uncomfortable. You say, what's that? The Holy Spirit and the Bible conviction. That's what that is. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, this is an incredible book. I don't have to spiritualize it. Now, buckle your seatbelts, because this is what a lot of people do. A lot of guys do this. And I stay away from it. But look, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2. I'm going to give you an example. Matthew 28 and verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone at the door and sat upon it." So I'm reading and studying that, Tim, and I'm reading that and studying that, and I'm drinking my diet ginger ale, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading that, and I'm concentrating on that. God rolled the stone away. And I come up with a message for you all. I come up with a message with you all, for you all, on Sunday morning. I say, God needs to roll the stones away of your life.
I've been there, yeah.
Okay? Nothing to do with the passage.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that's sacrilegious to me, because it was Jesus, His resurrection. And I'm going to spiritualize it?
Yes, yeah.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's like this. What's that little thing? Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. Don't know where to find them. And then in her other part where they come back, wagging their tails behind them. And I spiritualize that and say, see, you know, need to go soul winning. What? That makes as much sense as and so that's not what it's saying. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard them spiritualize. I heard somebody spiritualize Jonah and the whale, and you need to go to, he went to Whale University, and you need to go to Bible college. That's not what that's talking about. He was not going in the direction he was going. God got him going in the direction, used one of his created animals to get him where he was, threw him up on dry land. I mean, and folks, it happens all the time, and you're going to read books that do it, and you know, and I, you know, God bless you all listening to this thing. Jesus was not a bus captain.
Amen.
Okay. Or what? Our camel captain. We spiritualize things, and we do damage to the hearts of people.
True, brother. Amen.
The scripture stands on its own. Don't try to, we don't need to be, you know, pardon the phrase, I mean, we don't need to be shock jocks. Is that what they call them on the radio, the shock jocks? We don't need to be that in the pulpit. We don't have to bring some new. There's nothing new there. Let me just tell you something. It's incredible. I'm studying about Esther, and there's a portion in Esther chapter 1 that I'm having trouble with. And so I'm studying it. You say what? That's not. That's just to clean my glasses. I can't see through them anyway. But I'm studying that. Say, why are you studying that? Because I saw something I've never seen before. Was it there? Yup. What happened? I skipped over it in my thinking. You say, why'd you start thinking about it?
I don't know. Maybe just the Holy Spirit kind of said, hey, you want to look at this a little closer?
You see what I'm saying? Here's the problem. Here's where it gets real bad. Have you ever had somebody come to church and they said they were saved? Somebody led them to Christ and they bring them up and they get up here and you start talking and they have no idea? Mm-hmm. Now, that's for several reasons. But one reason is we do not teach them when we witness to them. It's not a bunch of fireworks and emotionalism and everything. It's teaching, and it's concise, and it's Bible. You're a sinner. You're condemned. Christ died on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And you need to call on him. Believe and call. You say, well, what about repentance? That's what repentance is, believe and call. That's what it is. And so, on and on we could go. But you don't spiritualize it. You don't spiritualize it. That's what the allegorists do when they interpret Scripture. They give you something, and they say, well, you know, God's not really going to do that. That's what he said. We got people that believe we're in the tribulation.
Yeah.
We're not. You know, Brother Holland was talking to me. He's got a lawyer in his church, and he said, you know, He said he believes that we're going to be raptured after, you know, at the second coming. We're going to go through the tribulation. I said, get his address for me. He said, why? I said, tell him I want his address so I can send my bills to him because I'll be out of here. I'm out. You can have it. Right? I'm going to fix air conditioners in heaven, amen? We spiritualize, and let me tell you something, we do damage. We do damage. That's why, listen, spiritualizing spiritualizing the scripture, that's a little bit of what the cult people do.
Yes.
That's how the cult people do. Let me review and we'll pray. Don't make a point at the price of interpretation. Don't interpret the Bible superficially. And don't spiritualize the Bible when we interpret it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for teaching us tonight. May we be students of the Word. Thank you for the attentiveness of your people tonight. We thank you for their hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing things to their hearts and their minds that they'll remember. We pray that as we study the Word of God tomorrow and the next day, that God, we'll see the reason behind these thoughts and why the errors we could make, and help us to avoid these. Lord, teach us your Word so we can know you more about you, in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart tonight. You come. All right, you may be seated. Let's receive the offering. Let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver, according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give as the Lord directs. You all ready for this week? Dawn's got to get her voice back. To use sign language. Amen. Amen. All right. Praying for you all this week. Let's have a good week. Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. Thank God for the day and what he's done for us. Let's close in prayer. Tim, close for us, would you?
Thank you.